All righty, folks, we are fired up.
All that stretching Jeff do, he's not very, very limber.
He's a lot of things. Limber's not on the top of the list. joining us right now, we're fired up to talk to our friend, former Redskins quarterback, Mr. Jason Campbell.
JC17. What's up, brother?
What up, man?
Man, what's going on, fellas? Long time, man. I've been, you know, keeping up with you guys a little bit, but you know, it's exciting times right now in Washington, but doing pretty good, man. Can't complain.
How's
You've
fatherhood,
been busy,
brother?
Too, the new dad, yeah.
I tell you what, fatherhood got me sleep deprived.
I imagine.
It's definitely exciting. I wouldn't trade it, but definitely you don't get as much sleep as you used to.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Confirmed. well, dude, I'm curious. I mean, I know from your work with Auburn and watching all the SEC games, you had to know Jaden Daniels' football game pretty well. Have you been surprised? Was this what you expected? What have you made of Daniels' leap to the NFL so far?
I'm not surprised to the point just because you got Cliff Kingsbury, you know, who was with Lincoln Riley out at USC last year when he was sitting out for a year, and he was around a lot of these offenses that – you know, these guys run at the college level that they're now implementing to the NFL. And Jaden Daniels, he was at LSU and we played him last year. I told everybody, I said, man, I'm very impressed when I walked away from that game. I said, he's going to be the Heisman winner because everyone knows he's elusive. He can run the ball. He knows how to pull the ball down and throw. But the biggest thing about a guy, his maturity as a young quarterback is a lot of these guys, they pull the ball down. The first thing they do, their eyes goes to the defender. You know, they're trying to beat the defender on a run. His eyes immediately stays downfield. And he's able to hit big throws, and that's what makes him dynamic. Because if you're a defensive back or a linebacker, you can't just run up to just tackle him because you know that he'll deliver the ball behind you to guys that's running loose down the field. And I saw him do that at LSU going through his first progression, second progression, third progression at times before he even decided to take off. And to me, that shows signs of maturity quarterback that could translate to the NFL.
You know that what you're talking about, they did it over and over and over again when they played against the Cardinals. Where he'll get outside on the edge, and it's two defensive backs, two receivers, and him. The defensive backs couldn't make the right decision. And they step up, he tossed the ball, as you stated. They drop back, he runs. If they both try to come up, he'll wait for the deeper part and they'll knock it down the field. And I think I was at the Cleveland Browns Hotel the other night, and basically when I left out, I basically knew that he was going to be a problem for them on defense because they were concerned about how elusive and how much he moves in the pocket.
Right.
And he made those pass rushers have to change what they were doing, which enabled him more time.
And the thing about it too, B-Mitch, is, you know, JP, when you think about it as a passer, right, so this guy can drop back in the pocket, he can read defenses, he can deliver the football, but then you tag the RPO game to it, so it almost makes the defense can't be right. So if you come up, he can pull the ball and throw the deep glance routes behind you. He can throw the slants behind you. If you come upfield too much, he can go underneath. And and the best thing that he has helping him right now is Brian Robinson and Ackler. They're actually running the football. They're not just dropping back 40, 50 times a game and just saying, hey, you know, we're just going to put the ball in the air. They have a well-balanced attack. And involved in that is his rushing. Like, I remember the first game everyone was in there up about, oh, he ran the ball 16 times against Tampa. I said, out of those 16 runs, it wasn't designed runs. You know, a lot of it was he was scrambling up in the pocket. He saw something. He went and got positive yards. And that's what he's very smart at. He has a 77% completion percentage right now, and you know, which is awesome in the NFL after breaking a record at 82% of the first four games. But right now, he's the only 1,000-yard passer and 250-yard rusher within the first 4 weeks of the season, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Think about all the guys that come through, Vic, Lamar, all these guys is very dynamic quarterbacks. So it tells me, I remember someone said something a couple weeks ago that kind of disturbed me. They said, well, he's running a college offense. It doesn't matter what kind of offense you're running if it fits your quarterback. That what disturbed me back in the day was they try to make you fit the system of what, you know, coordinators wanted to do instead of building the system around what the quarterback does best. That's why Lamar is able to win multiple MVPs. That's why Jaden is in conversation right now, is because they built the offense into what these guys do well. Don't put a Ferrari in a garage and never use it. You know, like, that's what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. He's using it. He said, hey, I'm going to make you have to defend every area of the football field. And for Dan Quinn and Bobby Wagner, they've seen this before Russell Wilson when he was a rookie at Seattle.
Yep.
So you put that with a great defense and a young rookie quarterback with that doesn't turn the ball over consistently, it gives you an opportunity to win.
You know what kills me? I hear this college quarterback crap.
That's such a good line.
And I want to use some foul language, but I can't do it.
How the hell
did they think Tom Brady ran? Tom Brady ran the spread offense. That's a college offense, right?
Right.
Okay. What does my man up there in Buffalo run? Same thing that Jaden is running. All these other quarterbacks run the same thing, but when Jaden does it and other people, it's a college offense. Get off of it. You know, it's like you can't just give credit to the quarterback. You know, it's been a fight for the longest. Right now they're doing the thing, the evolution of the quarterback. Him, Mike Vick, Doug, all these guys. Why every time someone becomes successful, they want to find a way to knock it? That's what Tom did. That's what Aaron Rodgers does all the time. Let's be real.
The thing is, we live in a society where people have to build somebody up, they got to tear somebody down. And instead of just being excited about the person having the opportunity, because everyone, when you come through different franchises, it's different eras, it's different times. And, you know, fortunate enough, when Jaden's coming through here, it's under new ownership, it's under new opportunities. You got an experienced head coach. You have, you know, guys that are just, you know, willing to buy into what they're trying to do. And that stuff takes time, but everyone's got to be willing to buy in. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to build Jaden up to tear down everybody else, or you don't have to tear down Jaden to build up, you know, other players. Like Mahomes runs a different offense, you know. Mm-hmm. When Andy Reid said when he was with McNabb and he was with some of the other guys, he tailored his offense to what those guys did well.
Yep.
When he got with Mahomes, he said Mahomes had a bigger arm. So he said, I'm going to tailor the ball to going down the field a little bit more instead of just staying true to the true West Coast, which is the slants, the curl routes and all the digs and those things. He started pushing the ball further down the field. So great coaches adapt to their great athletes. And mm-hmm. that's what you're seeing happening in Washington right now, is they're actually turning him loose. Now, there's going to be some hiccups here and there when people start to figure out a few things. Yeah, they'll figure out a few things, but he does so much well, it's hard to stop all of it.
I mean, what do you make of Jaden having the incredible accuracy for a few games? Then yesterday, they don't see zone, they see man. The accuracy dips, but the big plays start to hit. Is that taking what the defense gives you? Is that making an adjustment? Like, what did you see was the difference there?
Well, it's easier to complete passes against zone, right, because it's more progression-based. So, you know, you're kind of reading the levels of the linebackers. Do I try to go over top? Do I drop the ball off down low? Do the linebackers sit up and drop zone? And now I'm able to hit the second or third level throws. But when you get man, your guy's running completely, you know, with the receiver man-to-man. So your throw has got to be a little bit more accurate, per
se. But all that.
You're out in front and everything. So you can't be off a little bit like you can be in zone. But in man, you definitely got to be more accurate. And I think the thing about it, though, if you choose to play him man, you're going to get what you saw yesterday, was him get outside the pocket and hit Terry McLaurin on a 66-yard pass. You know, and then, you know, you hit Brown on the pass where he was able to drop back in the pocket and right in rhythm. 1-2-3 rhythm throw. Boom. Hits on the go route down the sideline. So there's things that he does well. So you can't just say, okay, we'll play man so that way we can put an extra spy in the box for him. And now you have a spy for him. Good luck with your spy. If he don't run a 4-3-40 or 4-4 and he can run sideline to sideline, because if you go man and your spy can't get to him, there's 30-40 yards he's ripping off. And it allows guys like Terry McLaurin. This is probably the only coverage that Terry has gotten lately where he's like, man, all I got to do is beat my man in front of me. I don't have to worry about safety over top because they got to put an extra guy in the box now, which gives your receivers an opportunity to win.
I think when you look at the game the other night with Kirk Cousins, they ran zone, and he picked it apart. He was throwing the ball. A guy run to a spot, boom, he threw it to him. And I think if they had played more man, then that's when you get opportunity with Kirk. The thing with Jaden, just like you stated, if they keep running man, believe me, Cliff will figure out something. Oh, they're going to be running man. They turn their backs for you. Get those yards. Get down. Then all of a sudden, you know what they do? Hey, play zone now. And then you just pick them apart that way.
Well, the other part they haven't even got to yet in the RPO game is, which they will continue to get to, is you haven't even saw the part yet where they run the RPO. And, you know, of course, we see Jaden keeps the ball or he handed it off, but then you're hitting the tight end out in the flats. You know, and then the next part of it is, as a cornerback, if he comes out to the flats, as long as he's still behind the line of scrimmage, you can now throw the ball to the receiver 10 to 12 yards sitting on the sideline. Mm-hmm. So do you stay back or do you come up? So those are the other aspects that's going to get to that offense that they haven't even got to yet. They may run the speed option on third and short. So you in man, somebody got the quarterback, but then you're pitching off the guy on the end because everybody else is pinched inside. Now, who's got the running back? You know, so you got to make decisions and stuff that comes off all of this where you run an option pitch to the running back, and now if you're the corner, you come up, now you got the option pass off of it. So I've seen so much of this system before and everything. It's a fun system being if you have an elite quarterback that's very skilled at running and throwing and, you know, can present a lot of problems. It's just so much that he can dive into before people just start saying, oh, we can stop this. So this is what we'll do to prepare for this. This week we'll force him to have to throw the ball against tight coverage, and we'll blitz him inside. Well, if you blitz him inside and your ends can't get him outside upfield, you're in trouble there. Yeah. So it's just you have to make a decision when you're playing this offense because right now they're reeling and they're hot and everything's clicking. I just, you know, you don't want to see a bye week. You want to keep this thing keep rolling because you don't want any time off when it's clicking.
Well, hey, good news, JC. They don't get a bye till the middle of December.
That's good.
That's good news.
Boy, you sound just like my coach from college. Boy, he just everything he was saying was explaining. we ran an option with a passing game into it. And everything Jay said is exactly what Coach Cutler was saying.
I love that. Talking with our friend Jason Campbell here on the BetQL guest line. Of course, Jason, first-round pick by the Redskins in 2005, showed just so much promise in an era of Redskins football that was just so broken, unfortunately. Obviously does a ton of work with his Auburn Tigers, a team that was – you were on the undefeated team that got totally screwed by the NCAA, right?
Yeah, I was on the undefeated team.
Cadillac.
We played the team taking the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. that was Cadillac and Ronnie Brown?
Yep, Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
I mean, that team was loaded. I do want to ask you a college football question because I imagine there was one result over the weekend that you were pretty excited about. but before we do that, let's look ahead. I know it's only Monday, but this weekend you get Lamar versus Jaden. You get Ravens versus Commanders, and the Vegas odds makers have the Ravens as pretty big favorites. What do you think in this thing?
Let's see. Where's the game at?
It's in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore. Oh, man, this is a tough one because, you know, you're taking a hot team that's traveling on the road, and it's not like Baltimore. It's not like you have to get on the flight or anything. So it's going to be a lot of fans there on both sides. You know, you're kind of playing like you're looking at two of the same quarterbacks, and one is the predecessor, and the other one is the guy that kind of resembles you as your twin when you look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to come down to which defenses can play the best because and who protects the football, because this is going to be a game that, you know, Baltimore's kind of struggled defensively a little bit against quarterbacks like Jaden, and you know they're coming off a game where they kind of got a. You know, a little bit of a gift, not winning in Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati missing that field goal with the botched snap. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be a game to me that all the headlines are going to be on Lamar and Jaden. And if you're the other teammates, you know this game is still going to be won in the trenches because, yes, you're going to try to put a dot on both of those guys and make sure that you're stopping them. But whoever runs the football successfully with their running backs, and the tough thing about this, Derrick Henry, it seemed like he just hit his peak. And so if I'm Washington, you got to load up the box first, right, to stop the run game, Lamar and Derrick Henry, right? If they beat you one-on-one in a passing game in man coverage, then so be it. But you got to stop their main thing first. And then if I'm Washington, you know, let Jaden go. You know, like let him go. Like put emphasis on Baltimore's defense. You know they're going to blitz. You know they're going to bring different things. But that's the one thing about the RPO game is it settles down some of those blitzes because if you blitz, there's open holes right behind it. And so they're going to do a lot of disguise coverage on Jaden, and they're going to line up pre-snap, but then show him another thing at the snap of the ball. And I think that's something that Kingsbury is going to be working really hard with him this week to prepare for. Don't get caught up in pre-snap, but they're going to do things to try to, you know, show you a different look. But when the ball snaps, it's going to end up in something else.
When you look at a game like they just played against the Bengals, mm-hmm. when that game is so high because it's like a rivalry game.
Right.
That next week is normally tough, just like Alabama just faced. Mm-hmm. beat Georgia, lose to Vanderbilt. Can that be something that Washington could be looking at when it comes down to Baltimore? Because I know Baltimore's prepared. I know John Harbaugh very well. But ultimately, human beings are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that game takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about it. Yesterday they had to go overtime, right?
Yep.
So you have to play – you're playing extra time, which, in, you know, in the NFL, be mentioned, it takes your body to the next Friday for it actually recovers. Now, if you had to go into overtime, that just takes a little bit longer. So it gives Washington an opportunity where they kind of had this game won in the first half against the Browns, and you didn't have to overextend yourself so much in the second half. So you may be the fresher squad, and you're the younger team. You know, Washington's a little bit younger. Except for, you know, a few guys like Bobby and those guys. But for the most part, you're younger than Baltimore, and you're more hungrier right now. You know, Baltimore's had some success of recent. You know, Washington's trying to get back to having success. And the one thing you cannot coach in this business or prepare for is confidence. And when a team has confidence and they feel like they can go anywhere and win, which is what Washington feels like right now, I like their chances in Baltimore because – like you said, it's hard to get up high twice back-to-back when you especially had to go in overtime to win a game. You just saw it happen to Bama and Georgia, and they go to Vanderbilt, and everyone's like, Alabama loses to the number one team in the country. I mean, Bama loses number one, loses to Vanderbilt. So it can happen, and that's why it's all any given Sunday, because it's too hard in this league to get up every single week. Even though you try, it's just hard.
It certainly is. Now, if anybody wants to follow Jason, it's at JCam_17 on Twitter. I know I also follow you on Instagram. What's your Instagram, JC?
JCampbell17.
Okay, JCampbell17. Now, unfortunately, you may or may not know this. I root for Bama. I know you don't like hearing that. They lost to Vandy, and it's one thing to lose a game like that, but they couldn't stop freaking Vanderbilt. They couldn't get a stop when they needed to.
Mm.
This isn't the year you wanted for your Auburn Tigers, but what level of enjoyment do you get watching Bama lose to damn Vanderbilt?
Oh man, I tell you what, JP, I'm surprised you at work today being a Bama fan. Yeah, you know, usually you guys lose, man. Y'all, you know, you
they hide, don't they?
Watch. Yeah, they hide.
I'm a casual Bama fan. I'm not screaming yellow hammer at anybody.
You know, it shocked me that you're a Bama fan. Bama fans kind of remind me of Cowboy fans.
Secretly, we think he's one of those projects.
I'm trying to let you get a chance to brag, and you're just taking shots at me, JC.
But I say, you know, watching that game Saturday, like, you know, Auburn, we should be 5-1. We had 15 turnovers in our three losses in the first about four games. Let's see, it's hard to win playing anybody turn the ball over that much. And, you know, after we lost to Georgia on Saturday, you're sitting there, you're just like, geez, man, like, we're so close to getting back with our young guys that are freshmen and sophomores. But I said, how bad does it feel that I got to sit here and be happy that Bama lost just so I can have some type of smile at the end of the night, eat some popcorn, and just forget about the loss that we just had. So we got a ways to go to get back to where we want to be at Auburn. But seeing Bama, you know, lose on Saturday, I really don't get joy out of seeing other people lose. But for some reason, just watching Vanderbilt, because that quarterback, was it Piva?
Yeah.
He beat us last year at New Mexico State when they came to Auburn. That was embarrassing. And then now to see him transfer to Vanderbilt and beat Alabama, I don't have to be embarrassed.
That man might have made him some money.
he made some money. He tailored his game after Manziel. You know?
Oh, okay.
So it'll probably give them some good NIL money. You know, B-Mitch, we didn't have NIL money back in the day. These guys, they come into the NFL, some of them millionaires already. So.
See, don't be talking about we. I probably didn't have it. I don't know about you.
Listen, B, it might have been called something different, but you had NIL, dude.
It was called. It was called.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
Dude, Jason, seriously, I don't know the last time you've been up here for a game. But if they call and reach out, I think you should come. The atmosphere
is different.
It's cool, yeah. Man. I think you'd enjoy it.
No, I definitely want to come up. I know they just had alumni weekend. Unfortunately, I couldn't. Well, alumni weekend coming up. I got to go to Missouri. Yeah, so I'm calling a game in Auburn in Missouri that weekend, so I can't make alumni weekend. But I definitely want to come up. I definitely feel the excitement and the joy around the team. It's good to see these guys 4-1. And, you know, Washington deserves it. You know, this fan base deserves it. They've been through a lot. And, you know, you just get tired of losing, right? And now you get a chance to win and get a chance to hang your hat on something. And, you know, this ownership now, this second year, has already taken huge strides in bringing in the right people and making sure, you know, that things stick together as well. So, you know, Washington has a chance to continue. It's going to be interesting. I keep hearing this Devontae Adams trade to Washington. The only thing about that that concerns me is you mess up the rhythm. You mess up. You got a good thing going, and you bring in a big name like that. He's going to require, you know, touches, right? So now you start to take the focus off what you're doing as a whole offense right now, which is really, really well, to start to try to implement someone else that, you know, he's a talented receiver and all of that, but would it mess up what you're already doing? Is it worth trying? And I just, you know, me personally, I probably would just kind of stay away from it, especially when you got a young quarterback like Jay. Just let him keep developing without the pressure of having to force the ball to guys.
Yeah, I don't think that thing's realistic at all.
I don't know.
Last thing for our friend Jason Campbell. All right, you were a first rounder in 2005. Do you remember how many Auburn Tigers were first round picks that year?
Four.
Name them. I guess you're going to get this easy if you remember the number.
Yeah. Ronnie was two. Cadillac was five. Carlos Rogers was nine. And then I was 25.
It's pretty crazy that two of you were drafted by Washington.
Damn.
Right. That's ironic. That just doesn't happen all the time, you know, to get guys on the same team like that. Like I said, I enjoyed my time at Washington. Just had to go through a lot of chaos and everything. And, you know, I wish it wasn't a chaotic and all the, you know, things we had to go through, because you want to win so bad, and Washington is such a great, great city to play football in and live in that community and everything. But I'm glad to see them back in a place right now where they feel like they got a guy. They feel like, you know, guys are buying in, guys are excited. You know, over the last 8 years, it's been rough, you know, for sure. But now these guys are really getting some excitement. And it's easy when you have an unselfish quarterback, you know, like, I look at Jay and I watch his interviews and everything. He gets so much praise to his teammates, so much praise to the staff and everybody around him. He doesn't look at himself as like, because he knows it's taking a total team effort, but he's really playing the quarterback position really well. And Kingsbury is giving him an opportunity to succeed. But at the same time, though, he's not putting the shelf on himself. And I think as long as he continues to do that, man, and stay healthy, you know, that's the biggest thing. Just continue to stay healthy as a team. Then give yourself an opportunity to win the NFC East and then get into the playoffs, and anything can happen.
See what happens.
Anything can happen. Jason, thank you for the time, man. Seriously, appreciate it.
All right, JP, cool, brother. Thank you, man.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right.
Jason Campbell, one of the all-time good guys, man, and a guy you wonder if he was playing for a team with some structure and regular offensive, you know what I mean? That is life. Jason, great dude, great interview right there. He seems quite high on Jaden and Washington.
You asked him where. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Young people liking Jaden, this kid is good at golf. Look what he has on play.
I see it. We'll be right back. It's B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you've listened to this program today, we've talked about football for 3 hours and 35 minutes. All the football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by
T-Mobile.
Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. How about Snoop all over the game last night?
Man, Snoop is everywhere. Man, this Snoop's camera an American treasure. Dude. That's why I keep going to JP.
I blame Jeff.
JP, I saw your twin the other night at the hotel, I told you.
Who?
Andrew.
Andrew who?
Who we had on the show Friday, Siciliano.
Oh, that's messed up, man. He told me he saw you.
Yeah.
I thought you'd at least give me Colt. Or, ironically, there's another new backup quarterback in town that has big ears and we kind of look alike in Jeff Driscoll. Have you noticed
Jeff
that?
Jeff Driscoll looks athletic.
He does. He's bigger than I am.
He looks athletic.
He's definitely a lot bigger than me. He looks big.
No, I keep saying athletic. You keep saying a size. I mean, you're not athletic.
I kind of am. All right, I want to run through a bunch of stats. Landville, can you give me a sound effect for all these stats?
Pew, 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 pew.
Washington has scored 30-plus points in three consecutive games for the eighth time in franchise history and the first time since 2005.
Mm. Pew, pew, pew.
Washington is 4-1 to start the season for the first time since 2008. Washington is 2-0 at home to start the season for the first time since 2011. This one blew me away, considering the track record of running the ball in our fair city. Washington has recorded 3 rushing touchdowns in 3 consecutive games for the first time in franchise history.
Really?
Riggs, Biner, Riggin, like think about
3
those great
rushing touchdowns in 3 games in a row?
Yeah. First time ever. That one blew my mind.
That didn't happen in 91?
I believe the stats that get sent out. I believe in my man Charlie. Washington is the second team in NFL history to have at least 3 rushing touchdowns in 4 of their first 5 games of the season, joining, you're going to remember this team well, B. I think this was the team of your youth, joining the 1954 San Francisco 49ers.
My mom and dad hadn't even thought of me yet, bro. That was 14 years before I was born.
This one's from NFL Research. Washington is the first team since 1970 to score 150-plus points in their first 5 games while starting a rookie quarterback. This one's from Elias. Washington has won 2 consecutive games by 20 or more points for the first time since you were playing, Brian, in 1997. Washington recorded 7 sacks in a game for the first time since Week 2, 2023. Washington held a 28-point lead for the first time at home since November 15th, 2015. Going into this game, I said there was one key statistic, third downs. Cleveland's defense was really good. Cleveland's offense, not so good. Mm-hmm. Washington's offense, excellent. Washington's offense finished, especially if you take out the Mariota portion of things. When Jaden was out there, they were converting on more than 50% of their third downs.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, in this game, 1 of 13 on third down.
Damn. Yeah, I saw that. That was bad.
Washington rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels is the first player in NFL history to have had 1,000-plus passing yards and 250-plus rushing yards in their first 5 career games.
Him and who else?
Him.
Oh. Ah.
Him and him.
I did see that yesterday.
I mean.
Him.
Him.
What do you call it?
Himothy Daniels.
Himothy Daniels.
The 41-yard touchdown pass yesterday to De'Ami Brown is now the longest of Jaden Daniels' career. How long until he breaks that record?
How long was it? 40?
That was 41.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He almost had the 66 to Terry. If it went 67, it's a touchdown.
This week.
Terry just got hit up on the leg.
Brace it this week.
You think it's this week?
They're going to play man.
Jeffrey, when does Jaden Daniels break his own longest touchdown pass record? It's 41 yards.
This week when we upset the Ravens by 2 touchdowns.
Damn, Jeff went all the way out.
Landini, you got a pick there? When's he break his own record?
It'll be against the Cowboys.
Here? Early December, maybe? I don't think it could be this week, too. I think it was almost yesterday with a 68-yarder.
Yeah.
I will play this game.
Yo, how about the touchdown, the pass in Arizona? What is Arizona? Cincinnati would have been longer if Terry would have gotten to the end zone there,
right,
too.
I do want to read this. Terry McLaurin finished yesterday with 4 catches for 112 yards. He passed Jerry Smith for 7th most receiving yards in franchise history. That game marked Terry's 17th 100-plus yard receiving yard game, and Terry McLaurin has now reached 400 career receptions, and he joins Santana Moss and Gary Clark as the only players to register 400-plus catches in their first 6 seasons with Washington.
Wow.
That's some company right there. Last one from me. Austin Eckler busted a 57-yarder yesterday. That's the longest run in Washington since Darius Geis busted a 60-yarder week 13 of the 2019 season. Do you know what happened week 13 of the 2019 season? The Redskins beat the Panthers. After that game, Panthers owner David Tepper fired Ron Rivera. I mean, that some weird full circle stuff. Nobody go anywhere. Time to make some bets. Beamish and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Been a hell of a day, man. A lot of fun. Ton of calls. Ton of excitement. I always loved getting to talk to Jason Campbell. JC is impressed by Jaden, and JC likes the Commanders' chances Sunday in Baltimore. I think a lot of people like the Commanders' chances in Baltimore. Can't wait for that game. The excitement's only going to build all week as we get closer and closer. You know who we should try to get on this week?
Who?
One of the wildest dudes ever that we used to work with at Comcast back in the day.
Brad Jackson?
Yes.
That's very possible.
I think we should hit up Brad because you know Brad's going to have some takes on this game. On Jaden versus Lamar.
He's going to talk a lot of trash.
Yeah, I think Brad would be awesome.
Let me reach out to him.
You remember Rich Goldberg we used to work with? Rich is a great, great, nice guy, but a small, quiet, unassuming fella. You remember the stuff Brad used to say? Hey, Goldberg, we're going to the club tonight. And that's the extremely edited version. All right, left hand up. Even though I have done the best all season in the weekend parlay, I was the only person to miss this past week. Sorry, boys. I'm very glad we don't do the hot sauce drinking anymore.
How are you the best and we have the same record?
We were tied coming in, right? Well, I think we're about 4-1 or something.
Yeah, so who's the best now?
Probably you.
No Fade and Jaden, baby.
I came up with No Fade and Jaden.
Yeah, and I'm using it because I'm the only one who haven't faded them yet this entire season.
I don't.
On the weekend parlay, I took the Manders all 4 weeks.
Gotcha. I haven't bet against them, though, in the weekend parlay. Yesterday, I made the mistake of underestimating the stupid New York Giants. Landfill, let's make some bets. All right.
Gather around.
Heard her here first. We got to track Bees down at some point this week, talk a little bit of baseball. If you're into baseball, you got Tigers at Guardians today, 4 o'clock. Almost slipped up there. And I guess it's AL one day and then the NL the next. You also got the Royals at the Yanks at 7:30. Pretty good sports night here. You could have baseball and football on. Obviously, tonight we got Saints-Chiefs, which I think could be kind of a pretty fun game. I don't know who won last week. I know it wasn't me. The floor is someone's.
Floor is Landini's.
I won last week. Me and Landfill tied.
I think Landfill won.
Nope. It was 3-1, 4-2, and you said 4 wins. We say we tied. Y'all forget every damn thing y'all talk about.
Nah, I called it a win from the jump.
I called a victory, so.
I did not win.
All right, well,
I'll go first. Hell with y'all.
Saints plus 5.5 tonight.
Oh. Okay. Jeff is on the board,
taking
the points.
I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Chiefs, and that makes me feel a lot better about my pick.
I, too, will take the Chiefs.
I hope Jeff don't win because he'll be talking so much trash.
He'll be talking so much trash. I'm going to count it down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yankees.
There it is.
Play line.
I knew the parlay.
I knew what you were doing. That's why I was waiting.
Jeff, do you have a parlay to throw in also?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Chiefs Saints tonight, 8:15. Yankees Royals, 7:30. Guardians Tigers starts at 4. Good sports day. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Grant and Danny, your way next. Grant caught up with a bunch of Commanders players, BSJ, Olamide, Zacchaeus. Make sure you listen to that. Today's been a fun day on the radio. Because the Commanders are 4-1. They've won 4 in a row. And it was an absolute ass-kicking of the Cleveland Browns. Shout out to Mike Wargo. Thank you to Jason Campbell for joining us. Everybody that called in. Boys in the Aquarium. Shout out to Popeyes. Great day. Hope you enjoyed it, too. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.